On behalf of Hell in a Cell Talk
Radio.
On behalf of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, best wishes go out to Aaron Ganey of the Nigerian Nightmares.
This is the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
All right, now I do have a caller on the line, and they have indicated that they want to speak with you. So, 813, we have you on the line. Just state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from Florida, and I was wondering if you could just ask Missy who her favorite Canadian female wrestler is.
Oh, no, I could totally get in trouble for this one.
Oh,
who
no.
My favorite female Canadian wrestler is. Oh, Jesus.
I'm pretty sure you would know who would expect to hear one specific name.
I'm trying to think who I know from that's Canadian who's in Florida.
Are you, in fact, Mystery Caller, Canadian?
I may or may not have worked in OSPW with one Missy Sampson.
Do you have
oh,
any clues?
No! Wait, stop! Hold on! There's no way this is Angel.
Hi!
Oh my God! Really?
Hi, I'm Bink Bottomtrouser, the ring announcer from Sideshow Pro Wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Some fan created this, like, I think it was like a surfboard or a boogie board. And underneath the boogie board, they put just straight razors all along the thing.
Good God.
Hey, guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Welcome to another exciting edition, a French interruption edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is the very loyal, the somewhat chubby, Dan, the man, the above-average comedian, Dan the Man-Law. How are you tonight, sir?
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here from Pennsauken, New Jersey.
You're such a jerk. Where can the fine people find you, sir?
Without capital letters, at DanLaw83.
That is right. DanLaw83, Folsom County, that's where
What's going to happen tonight?
Oh, tonight, Dan. let me get my spiel out first.
I'm so fired up, man. Go.
I can tell. You could find us on iTunes. Just
in a hole.
Search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com lineup. And Brady Hicks, what a great guy Brady Hicks is.
I was going to say, are you still proud of that association?
Actually, I am. I am.
Shoot or work?
Follow the Twitter on Twitter, of course, at HIA6Radio, and like the Facebook at Facebook.com/.
Where is that?
Selling the hell.
Facebook.
Yes. And the call-in is 718-664-9133. If you want to call in, join the action. Before we get to Ooh La La, John from Long Island happens to be here, and I just want to bring him on. Now, John, how are you tonight, sir?
Much better than Captain.
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Damien will be on in about a half hour. I know that's why you probably called in. So, you want to just?
I just always can. The reason why I call in is because I can never get the show on live. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. So you just want to listen and wait until Damien comes on?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put
good.
You back on hold, sir.
Okay,
so...
See, that's a gentleman I can talk to. The other guy, not so much.
Oh, will you stop with the Captain Dave chatter?
No, tonight. I did the same, you did.
Tonight, we are going to have... Monsieur Oulala will be joining us for a French interruption. He's actually anxiously waiting on online.
Did you know Tony Lame still has a MySpace page?
Oh, whatever. Damian Dragon is also going to join us. He's alone tonight, Dan, and this is a little interesting.
I'm actually interested to hear what's going on there, because I'm going to be very upset if anything happens.
Well, that's for sure.
That team. And I'm not just saying that as a, oh, my God, did they break up? That is stupid to do.
That, well, I share that opinion with you, Dan.
All right, cool. I'm glad.
I do. That's why we do a show. We compliment each other.
Why do we do compliment each other, you dick?
Dan?
What?
We also have Johnny Hated from DWF and Beast joining us as well. Now, of course, Dan, a French interruption, we left off at his, he was coming to ECWA for the first time.
Yes, it was under the Kettner reign.
Yes, it was. It was under Jim Kettner, I believe.
Jim Kettner.
I believe back in 1992, early 90s, I'll just say.
1993, my guess, yeah.
92, 93, but we're going to find out more in just a second. We're going to bring him on.
This is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh? Ooh, la la! Woo!
I'm the champ! Woo!
Good evening, sir. How are you doing? You're with Dan and Dean.
Ooh, la la! I'm still the best. And I'll tell you, Monsieur John, he better get away from that dial-up if he can't, if he's not, if, I don't know why he can't get an internet connection, but maybe he's got to feed the rodents. I don't know.
Who knows? John from Rhode Island, good guy. I'm glad he's listening in. His hero is Damian Dragon. Or maybe it's Foxy Foxy. I'm not sure, but something's going on. But how are you doing tonight, sir?
You know, I'm still the champ. I'm still going to defend my title on the third against the little girl, Ricky, who I apparently has been singing an 80s song. Oh, Ricky, you're so far. I'm not sure, but he got really good at it. And, I'm, you know, he's a model, but I think it should probably be Shoes.
Of course, that's November 3rd coming from the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. And a big night of action will be there. ECWA Forever is the title of that.
That is correct.
Card. Now, do you think that Carrie Klein, she's coming out with the already large posse that Ricky the Model has. Do you think she's going to play into this?
Hey, who is she? Wasn't she the girl there that was serving beverages or something? I don't know who she is, but I've been getting some phone calls. I don't recognize the number. I hope it's not her.
I'm sure she's getting comped.
Oh, that's a shoot. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on, Dan. You're being a little controversial. Now, where we left off, you just had a conversation with Jim Kettner. You were about to start your journey into ECWA. So just give us how you got started in ECWA.
Well, first, Monsieur Kettner had asked me, he had wanted to meet with me. He didn't know what kind of skill level I was going to bring to the table with the rest of the roster of the ECWA. He had a good core group of guys there that were the Cuban Stomper. Barry Casino was there with him. There was a big man that still, God rest his soul, but Boogie Woogie Brown, who I battled many a time. Yeah. And there was, the Commandos. The Animal, there was just a bunch of guys there. It's a good solid core, and I was just trying to work my way in to fit into the roster. So he brought me back to a facility where he could see, had me working with one of the boys, locking up, body slams, taking bumps to see where I was in my progression and what kind of skill level I would have. And I had met with him twice. He'd taken it from the other parts of that. He had gone. I left, and he brought me back for almost like a second interview of sorts, in which I met a couple more of the guys, and we had done some stuff. And then he welcomed me into the fold of the ECWA.
Now, what was it like when you walk into the locker room and there's, you know, all these guys working there, the ring's up. What was it like walking into an event then compared to an event now? Bigger, smaller, what's the atmosphere like?
You know what, I will tell you now, it's a family. It's not anything that I've ever been around to date when I had dealt with the other organizations and the locker rooms I had seen up to that point. There was a camaraderie. There was a genuine trust and wanting to be there. It was a very good feeling. That feeling is still there today, where everybody just is there. Where it's a good group. I mean, I have my issues. You know, to tag the area. You know, that man's in need of a hairpiece like I have never seen. And then you got Magnum who's walking around with a jacket that looks like it's roadkill. I mean, I don't know what to. I mean, sure, there was some style issues that these guys have had over the years, and that's been more apparent now. But I mean, but the guys by and large were good guys.
Okay, I guess it's back to me now. Ooh la la, you said the early days. Now, what
do I
were
have
some
to cue you every minute of this show?
You do. I apologize.
No kidding, I do. By the way, I see you got a haircut.
I did?
Yes, you did. Looked like a lot like the picture I saw in the post office.
What is wrong with you, ooh la la? I invite you on, and this is how you treat me. This is the total disrespect you have.
That's awesome. I was just commenting. I was just making a little small talk because you seem to be tongue-tied, and there's all this air in between, you know?
I was a little tongue-tied, and I do apologize. Yeah. Now, ooh la la. Now, ooh la la, your first couple of years in ECWA, what were some of the programs, the feuds, if you will, that you were involved with?
Well, my first match was against the Cuban Stomper, and let me tell you, he was big. And this man, I mean, he put me through a ringer. But I do recall being victorious in my first match, and then I would do some beginning. I was working my way through. I had taken some of the spots in the beginning as I was working my way up into being a contender for some of the titles. So there was guys like Rockin' Ronnie, who I remember working and having the distinction of being in the ring and having a very good match. Then there was my biggest challenge in the ECWA history. There was two of them. It was Boogie Woogie Brown and the Cheater Master. And Boogie Woogie Brown, he had a pound for every day of the year and then some. He was just a big man. And when I tell you the fans loved him, I've never seen anybody have a following like he did. It was something else to behold.
I was just going to ask, how did that feud with Boogie Woogie Brown, because that's a very storied feud in the history of ECWA, how did that start with Boogie Woogie Brown?
Well, of course, it started with me minding my own business. Okay, well, actually, I believe Barry Cassino had some dealings with him over the years prior to me getting there, and he had been a thorn in Barry's side, and then he brought me in, and then the story goes from there, because, you know, we were trying to dethrone him, anything we could to get a victory over him, but that man was tough, and the splash was something that I felt like I had been to a chiropractor, and it didn't go well because I was squished. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I tried to take him on in a blindfold match. I would try to take him on in a handicap match, and the man was unstoppable. He was something else. There was a couple times I may have had one or two pinfalls on him, but, you know, he would always come back stronger, and he was something to reckon with, and I'll never forget the night that him and Moore and May Young teamed up, and Monsieur Mozart Fontaine and Monsieur Richie Rackett and I, I mean, it may have taken Mae Young 10 minutes to get across the ring, but when she got there, oh, she kicked my butt. Let me tell you, she did that Bronco Buster thing, and I will never forget that. I still have the picture today of, and then I saw, there's my leg and my arm, and there's Boogie, there's Moore, there's Mae Young. It was just a big pile on. It did not go well.
Now, I'm going to ask the question like this a little bit. Was it Boogie Woogie Brown, or who were you in the ring with where you finally you realized that you had momentum, or you finally had, I guess, made it?
I don't ever have considered myself as made it because I don't believe you really, you strive. Every time you go out there, you need to strive to be better. And I'm still trying to make it. I'm still striving to be better than I was my last performance in the ring. I don't believe you're ever there. You're always getting better as far as I can. I feel as though I'm still getting there. I know that.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people always tell us, too, when we have these conversations, is every day is a learning experience, so you certainly feel that way as well.
Oh, I do. And if you aren't constantly watching to see what's out there and learning more, then you will become stale. You need to, it's like you reinvent yourself every time. And now, the Cheetah Master. Again, as I've always done, I've minded my own business. I mean, maybe that Je ne peux plus cologne that Betty and I had introduced was a little upsetting to Monsieur Cheater. So, you know, and the feud would begin with him. And there was another one who was tough as nails, and his flash was just as tough as what you would see from Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I mean, you know, I would think I'd have everything under control, and next thing you know, there's a super kick. I'm trying to come to, and here comes this big carcass off the top rope. I mean, Barry and I had done many a strategy to defeat him. Sometimes we were successful, sometimes we were not.
Now, you already brought up the teaming with Mozart Fontaine. Now, during this time, were you part of the Chick Magnets at this point, or what's the story there?
No, that was not. Well, I was probably, perhaps, I'm hoping I was the inspiration for the Chick Magnets because, you know, how the women are rude than me. But,
yeah,
I mean, it's not my fault. But Mozart and I made a very solid team. In fact, if it wasn't for those young kids, the Briscoe brothers, you probably know them now from, it's the Ring of Honor. I remember taking them on down in Laurel, Delaware, where they had to get their 5 minutes just to see if they could catch up with themselves. They're pretty slow down there. But you talk about being cheaters. Those little girls, they did a little switcheroo on Mozart and I. And I think you had Mozart more confused than I, but I happened to be the legal man in the ring. And it did not end well, but we had a couple shots at them too. But they're two tough kids, and it has proven that they're very, very tough contenders now in the Ring of Honor.
So when was it, Monsieur Lala, when a title started entering the picture for you?
I have spent many years working through some singles matches. And I believe my first title may have been in the development times. I actually had they would sometimes, you know, Barry would try to hide me and Monsieur, who you know now as Simon Diamond. He would try to throw off. He would have him and I dress. We would go under as Russian invaders and try to throw off the opponents in the tag team category. And we would be victorious sometimes, and I do believe we had the tag team title for a brief time, but then it was the Iron Man and the Equalizer that both of them were about 6'8". We pretty much got our clock cleaned at the Nord Temple down there in Delaware, and
wow.
It was a rough night.
Okay, a rough night indeed. Now, walk us through Those we've talked a little bit about the first couple of years in ECWA. Now, what point you said you didn't feel like you made it yet, but when did you feel you were really part of the roster and that there was more focus put on you?
It had to have been. There was the focus was shared pretty equally, and then you had your top tier. But then at one point it became apparent that I was actually, I'd have to say it was probably in the mid '90s when we were also working with PCWF in the Reading area. We would at that time we had gentlemen like Sexton Hardcastle, Christian Cage, and Andrew Martin, as you know, as Christian Edge and Test, who were with us at the time, and what a privilege that was. But we would be out there in the Wind Gap area and in Wilmington wrestling with them, and I noticed it started happening in the mid '90s. I had first wrestled a gentleman named Inferno Kid, some little wily guy that caught fire or something, but I beat him for the Mid-Atlantic title. I need to lose it shortly, a couple months later in a diaper match, which he clearly cheated with the powder. But that's when I started seeing the push that I was getting was through that, and that's when I noticed that I was becoming a little bit more relevant. But I will tell you that just because you've gotten more relevant, you do not take that for granted, because in this business it could end tomorrow. So you really got to keep yourself in check and make sure that, you know, again, if you're not striving for to be better in your next match, then I really just say don't bother. I mean, if you're not working, then working to try to be better. And even though I had won the Mid-Atlantic title and had lost it after a couple of months, but I just knew that they were going somewhere with me and as I was moving in the right direction.
Okay. Now, what was that like working with guys like Edge, Christian Test, Daniel Bryan was actually there, Christopher Daniels? What's that like working with guys that move on?
Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, you had Mark the Shark Strader. Billy Kidman was there at the time. Reckless Youth. Oh, Mike Quackenbush. I mean, these guys were brilliant, and look at them. They're still guys that I remember working with and know that I was privileged to be on the same roster with them. I mean, there was guys like Christopher Daniels, who I wish I could do half of what he did, and he paid me a nice compliment because he thought that what I had done was very significant as well. Though I'm not jumping off the top rope and doing fancy stuff up in the ring, but when I walk through the curtain, the people know I'm there, and to hear that from him was quite the privilege.
Now, did you ever get to work a match with any of those young guys?
I did wrestle against Mike Quackenbush.
Okay.
Oh, boy. And then during that time, there was gentlemen like George the Animal Steel who were brought in, and boy, did he beat me from pillar to the post. Mm-hmm. And then up in the Wind Gap area, I wrestled Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant. And he may have been... And I think Charlie Brown was there that night too, but I can't be sure. But I wrestled him, and then there was Hardcore Holly. I mean,
whoa.
The dropkick he gave me almost rearranged my face. I almost felt like Ted DiBiase back in the NWA days.
Okay, now just wrap up. I guess we'll call this the early days of ECWA. Like your final thoughts of this time period when you felt that. The focus was on you. How did you feel, like, just to wrap this part up, part trois of the French Interruption?
I just could say that it was wonderful. I mean, I'd go onto their website at that point, and then at the top of the banner there would be your ooh la la, and then there would be that little girl, the Cheetah Master, you know. And I thought, wow, this is something else, you know. And I mean. And I look back at the history of the ECWA from then to now, and the talent has just continued to grow and grow. I mean, think about it. You had Ace Darling and Devin Storm back then, too, who went on to work for WCW. and as we know, Billy Kidman went to WWE, and mm-hmm. Christian Edge and Taz. I mean, I was among some very, very, very good people who are part of, again, I've watched what they've done. I can't do it quite as well, but, I mean, I am no Mr. Shoot Just in the Stars Press, okay? I can do a bench press, but that's about it. But I mean,
okay.
The guys that were in the ring were just absolutely phenomenal, and I was privileged to be part of that.
Mm. Now, of course, coming up on November 3rd, we spoke briefly about it, you have the challenge of Ricky the Model Martinez with Gus Grand, with Magnum, and apparently with Kerry Klein.
Let me tell you, you talk about a group fit for milk cartons. Let me tell you, that's the group.
It certainly is. Now, how do you feel going into that? You're going out there with Coach Jim Shorts, and that's it. How do you feel?
Well, Gus, the press agent, I mean, Monsieur Gus, he couldn't press his shirt. You think he's getting talent? Look at him. And then Magnum, he comes out sporting a squirrel jacket and calls it something neat. Are you kidding me? We're lucky Cujo doesn't find him and chase him to the back. And then this Kerry Klein, what is that?
I don't know what that is.
What is that? Okay. Is that for real?
I heard.
Yeah. And then the model Martinez, like I said, he couldn't underwear sneakers. I mean,
I'm more worried about Kerry Klein.
He couldn't model them. Maybe his hands, maybe. Maybe if his nose was in his finger was in his nose, he could model that. I don't know. But he thinks he's a model. Oh, dear God. Maybe he's a model for the blind, okay? That's what he is.
So,
he was pretty good looking.
Do you think, maybe you're not giving this enough, what am I looking for, Dan, the word, enough priority?
I was going to say, maybe he's, I want you, I don't
you're
want
taking
you,
him a little lightly.
Yeah, I don't want you to lose the title there, Mr. Ooh-la-la.
No, I'm not going to, no, if I lose the title, it's because they're nothing but cheaters. And let me tell you, I know it's about cheating.
That's for sure. We haven't really gotten into that, your style. We'll get into that in part four of A French Interruption, your style and how you refined it over the years.
Oh, yeah, you could put me right there right next to Lou Thesz, huh? Uh-huh.
Oh, you certainly could.
Absolutely, especially getting into
that's
the
ring. That's right, the gorgeous George.
I'll tell you what, at the K-Cup, I saw you do a suplex, and I popped for it.
Oh, well, so Martina says, hey, take me to school. Okay, no problem.
But, Monsieur Ooh-la-la, where can all the fine people find you and talk to you?
They can find me on Facebook, and they can probably find my link to your show, correct?
Yeah.
Of course, and then I'm also on Twitter. And they can also, of course, see me at the ECWA on November 3rd as the squirrel whisperer Magnum comes in, or whatever he is, and the press agent who hasn't seen town in God knows how long, and whatever that Klein thing is, and then the man with the face for radio, Martinez.
She's going to hit me when I see.
Most likely.
Yes.
Now, Ooh-la-la, it's always a pleasure. We'll have another one coming up in December, part four of A French Interruption, where we talk about, I guess, the middle years of ECWA. And
yeah, we can talk about my superior style in the ring, too. You better write that note down, all right?
I'm writing it down right now. Superior.
Yeah, you're writing it.
Superior.
And look at all that dead space you have in this radio show of mine, all right?
What are you talking about?
Hey, listen, this week it was only 5 seconds. You should have heard last week.
Yeah.
What, did the FCC call to see if you're still on the air?
No, they're gonna.
Yeah, after last week.
Yeah, after last week, they're gonna.
Yeah, but anyway, Ooh-la-la, you have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Ooh-la-la, you swine.
He still calls me a swine.
You are.
This is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh? Ooh, la la! Woo!
I'm the champ! Woo!
All right, so that is none other than Monsieur Olala. Dan, how do you feel?
I think I learned a lot today.
About his early career and...
About his early career and, just about his early career, that's all.
Omega, you're joining us now. How are you?
I am well. You know, I wonder why Monsieur Olala doesn't call you a cochon. Which is the French word for swine.
Oh, stop it with your French heritage or whatever.
Come on!
Is Omega French?
He has a French heritage, am I correct?
Omega! I'm a French-Canadian. French-Canadian heritage, yes.
Do you really?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh.
No, he's making it up. He just wants to be interesting for the radio.
Should I call you? Yes, never mind.
Because Lord knows I'm not interesting anywhere else.
Ribbit.
That's for sure. Now, you two talk amongst yourselves just for a minute.
So, how you doing, Omega?
I'm good. I didn't know we were riffing.
Honest
tonight,
question.
Yarn.
Have you watched Raw or Main Event this week?
I literally just watched Raw like an hour ago.
Yeah, and?
I thought the wrestling was improved.
Yes, I did notice that. Do you watch Main Event or have you watched an episode of that yet?
I have not watched Main Event yet.
Okay, well, never mind. You're not missing anything. All I say, 15 minutes.
Is it anything more than just basically, like, you know,
the format?
One more match?
Well, no, they have two more matches, which is a shocker because it's two more. And the format's a bit different because they have the announcer starting out in the ring. But the match didn't start till 15 minutes in this week. And they wasted, just TV time. They wasted Ziggler on Ryback, and I'm still not on the Ryback thing. My girlfriend was one of the spirits that said, like, are they chanting Feed Me More, or do they really, really, really like him?
I guess they do like him, Dan. I'm completely indifferent toward the whole Ryback phenomenon.
It bores the hell out of me.
Well,
I saw it once before, and he went undefeated until Kevin Nash had the shocker prodded. And I'm not talking about something disgusting.
I think Ryback's not terribly original, but crowd's getting behind him.
I don't get it. I must be out of touch. It must be me.
No, it's not you. I'm just indifferent, Dan. I'm saying I could care.
No, I wasn't talking about you. I'm talking about me versus everybody else who popped for this wonderful human being who is boring.
Well, I mean, it's like anything else. It's like the yes chance for Daniel Bryan. If you can get something that the crowd can latch onto, then they will latch onto it. That's what crowds do. It's mob mentality.
If I ever get into the wrestling business, I just want everybody. I want my chant to be biscuits.
Biscuits. Why? Biscuits.
Biscuits. Because it's just as random as the rest of the crap on TV today.
Well,
why not?
Hey, AJ and John Cena were caught canoodling. Let's fire AJ. Random.
Well, that was pretty random.
He's divorced now.
That's very true.
Ric Flair might get involved in the angle. That's what I heard.
You're serious, aren't you?
I am. I did read that.
Oh, my God.
World in Charlotte. And,
It would only be the third person that he got involved with woman-wise that he probably shouldn't have.
You know, that's almost enough to drive for me to drive an hour and a half to Charlotte to watch.
To watch and see Flair?
Yeah.
It's not the same anymore, I'm just telling you.
No, it really isn't.
I'm telling you now. I was watching on WWE Classics They have Super Brawl 2001.
Oh, why'd you punish yourself, Dan?
Dude, memories. Because while everybody else was taking a crap on that company, I was one of them jerks that stuck through the end. And it was bad. It really was bad. I mean, at one point, I forgot that Totally Buff was a tag team. And as soon as they came on the screen, Buff Bagwell and Lex Luger, Kelly got up and left. So I'm done. I'm like, and they Flair had this weird angle. It was bad. But like I said, I'm one of those guys that stuck through to the end.
I guess I'm thankful I missed that era.
I am thankful as well.
The one thing they did, because I don't remember it being that bad until I watched the pay-per-view, and I'm like, wow. One of the things, this is the last point I'll say, this is the last thing I'll say, and then we'll move on. One of the things I liked they did towards the end is they had the Tag Team Cruiserweight Championship. And they had great matches. Towards the end, they were building their cards on the Cruiserweights because they didn't have anybody else. They had Sid, who broke his leg, and then their big bad guy was Scott Steiner. No, thank you. I'll watch something else.
Very good point, Dan. Now, normally, this would
Jamie
be the Dragon. Time. Well, this would be the time that we would have fan mail with Robert Knight. Not so tonight.
No.
Robert Knight is in deep isolation this week, preparing for PG-13 expansion.
So much so that he's not even communicating. Kit is communicating.
That's what I hear. That's what I see. That's what I hear. So instead, I reached out to one half of the most dominant tag teams on the indie scene. That's none other than Damian Dragon of Fusion DS. Now, there could be some internal friction going on right now between DS. However, they're still debuting this Saturday for New Moon Rising Wrestling. We're going to talk to him about all that. Talk to him about New York Comic Con as well. Right after we play his music.
Ensure all residences are secure with all doors and windows firmly locked and barricaded.
I'm here. Step away from the window and go back to sleep. Safe from pain and truth and choice.
All right. Good evening, Damian. You are on with Dean, Dan, and Omega. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty darn well. I had to avoid saying hello, nerd herders and whatnot, but I'm doing pretty darn well. So
well,
thanks
said,
for having me on.
You said nerd herders.
Good.
You said it. Go ahead and plug it.
So, hello, nerd herders. Join me and Foxy Friday nights, 9 p.m., Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio/Dream Elite. Listening to nerd herders Friday night.
And I'm just saying, if you don't join Foxy and Damian, you're really missing out because this week they're making Ecto Cooler from scratch.
Yeah, and as I've mentioned a couple times on the air and via Facebook and Twitter, I was a poor Brooklyn kid. I was not afforded the privilege of having Ecto Cooler.
Oh.
So if Foxy gets this wrong, she's got a lot riding on this. I'm going to be like, you like this nasty crap? So hopefully she gets it right. This is going to be definitely an interesting episode, to say the least.
I'm doing it live with you guys, man. I'm not even kidding. I haven't had it since I was first.
Oh yeah, she went out and bought all the ingredients today, and I'm just like, okay, that stuff mixes. Okay.
You'll see if she does it right. You'll see.
I hope
Ecto
so.
Ecto Cooler was a very delicious beverage as I was growing up. I finally remember those days. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, scroll.
Moving on now. There's a little bit of friction in Fusion DS these days.
Ow!
It started out with the K-Cup, Moving along to the next week at Carney's Point, you had Matt come out and cut a promo on you.
Yeah, I heard about that. And, of course, you know, I fired back and everything like that. But I'm here to tell you, I'm giving Hell in a Cell an exclusive right now.
Ooh.
Matt and
You're
I.
Married.
No, yeah, I know. I'm married. Yeah, we're totally married. I'm Mormon, you know? But nonetheless, Matt and I. It's a weird New Jersey Mormonish that thing, though. You know, V, anytime I get on the line with you guys, it's going to be interesting things they say. Nonetheless, the bombshell I have to tell you is Matt and I finally got on the phone yesterday, hashed things out. He's been going through a lot of stuff away from the ring, and then the Midnight Sensations coming back was a bit crazy to do, as well as myself and, you know, like family, we are brothers, and, you know, we, you know, family fight. But as of last night, Matt and I have mended ways, and we are focused on New Moon Rising, and we are focused on ECWA and everything else we have coming up. So we have mended the bridges.
That is excellent news. Excellent news. Now, New Moon Rising Wrestling, you brought it up. It's this Saturday, coming from Deptford, New Jersey. And this is going to be a rebirth, if you will, of a company that I don't want to say fell on hard times, but things happen behind the scenes. This is the rebirth. And you're part of it. You're actually going up against the Untouchables, and there's a bit of a history there, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. There is a little bit of a history there. Apparently, you know, we faced them in the first round of the Samoan Cup. And, of course, we all know who won the entire Samoan Cup, so we know how that match ended.
So things might
Spoiler
be looking
alert.
So things might be looking good for you come this Saturday.
Absolutely.
As you and Matt challenge the Untouchables for the New Moon Rising Tag Team titles.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. I mean, I think their manager or whatever he wants to call him, Justin America, is one of their guys or something like that. I had a fun time, you know, little twit battle, or he attempted to twit battle. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a battle. I was being sarcastic me, and the jokes kept flying left and right past his head, and it was like, oh, wow, yeah, this is not going to be so bad.
Well, Justin America, he is part of the Me Society, as are the Untouchables. The Me Society comprises Jake Bishop, who's been around quite some time.
So it's the Dean Dixon Society.
The Me, thank you. Yes.
So it's the You Society.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because
what
Justin
society.
Kept saying it was Justin kept saying it was his Me Society. So is it the Justin America Society or Dean Dixon Society? Which one
well,
is it?
The Me Society, what it is, it's all about me.
And so it's about you.
It's all about them.
Oh, I'm confused.
Yeah, it's easy to get confused, yeah.
So it's Jake Bishop, it's Justin America, The Untouchables, and of course, Mr. VIP, LJ Cruz. Now, these guys have a lot of experience. They're different paths. Are you worried about, I don't know, the Me Society interfering?
Am I worried? Let's see. I mean, I haven't been to the venue yet. I'm sure I'll scout out the area and see, you know, what instruments are allotted me if necessary. I mean, we saw how that went down the month before K-Cup. So, you know me, I am not unaccustomed to handling surprises.
Let's just say there's plenty of paint buckets, ladders, various instruments.
Hammers, tools, screwdrivers.
Not screwdrivers.
Mm. Cars.
There are cars.
And a car will fit through the door.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, a car will fit through. Yes, that's true.
Just accelerator, pal. Just whop.
It could be a whole Steve Austin thing going on. Now, of course, the following week, on November 3rd, you're back in ECWA. You're challenging the new Unified Champions, Kay Koa and Aiden Chambers, as well as two of the Blackhearts, Breaker Morant, the King of Promos, and I believe it's Bobby Shields.
Yeah. So, you know, I see Joe Blowhard instigated in his rematch clause, and I just found it interesting that the dynamic alien duo weren't the ones he gave it to. I'm rather shocked and surprised. But doesn't matter, you know, we'll take on boring Morant and boring Shields and, you know, push them aside, and we'll take on the ECWA Dream Team. And once again, I think Fusion DS, now that we've kind of started to mend the ways, mend the bridges, we can do what we've always done, which is make history yet again in becoming the four-time unified tag team champions.
And there's only one team that's done that before, and that's Logan, so that would be very historic if you were to do that.
Oh, yeah, that would be an awesome story because, again, that's another team that, you know, Fusion has really looked at the possibility of hoping to face down the road some way. You know, they're on that list of teams we would like to face.
The old bucket list.
The old bucket list.
Moving along, mm-hmm. you have a lot of other stuff going on in November as well. You have an iPay-per-view coming up. You have
iPay-per-view I'm excited about. Yeah, I'm going back to Virginia. The iPay-per-view I'm actually uber excited about. I'm hoping a lot of people can make it out to that one because – as you guys see, it's actually I'm letting an old side of myself out for internet pay-per-view. The Disturbed one is coming out of the padded room for the first time, I think, in about almost 2 years. So it's going to be fun. It's definitely going to be interesting. If you've never had the privilege of seeing me do this side of me, you haven't seen anything. It's totally something different from anything you've probably seen me do in ECWA or anywhere. It's definitely something to behold. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. Then we trek back up to Virginia. Like you said, we're taking on the set who have they themselves in the past had wrestled in Ring of Honor for a little while. They're former BCW Tag Team Champions as well. So we called them out. We said, hey, you know, we're here. Let's take on the best. Let's take on the former champs. Let's see what you got. So, you know, we're rolling full steam ahead. You know, there's always going to be potholes in the road, but the main thing is you hit the gas pedal and you keep on going.
Now, I do have a friend of the Nerd Herders.
I'm sorry ahead of time.
And especially of Foxy. I have none other than John from Rhode Island.
Awesome.
Let me get him on. John, you're on the line with Damien.
How you doing today, Damien?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Great. My question for you is, looking back to your early career before getting into wrestling, who would you say were your top favorites that you wanted to be like?
My ultimate numero uno favorite was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, of course. That's part of where I got the dragon name from. And then the cool thing is that dragon name got justified, I'd say, about a couple of years back, quite a number of years back. I actually had the privilege of training with, hanging for a whole weekend and everything with the Hall of Famer, and he himself called me the Little Dragon. So that was pretty darn awesome. He even quizzed me. He even quizzed me how to do his floating arm drags. Not even show him. He quizzed me verbally, and I passed the test. So for me, that was pretty awesome. And then the other one that was my all-time favorite was the Dynamite Kid.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, John.
I'll be with you on Friday.
I'll be looking forward to hearing you on Friday, John.
Thanks. Right. Have a great day.
You too. Now, take care.
That is reason enough to call in the Nerd Herders. Just to hear that guy. I could listen to him all day.
He's awesome. He actually sang. He sang to my wife for as an early birthday gift a few weeks ago. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he sings a lot.
Brady told me the same thing. You got yourself a personal music video from John earlier today.
I did. Apparently I'm John's hero.
Ah, there you go.
Aren't you everybody's hero? You bring balance where there's balance needed.
He is the wind beneath my wings.
Yeah.
Apparently I'm his hero.
We got to get Dean a cape.
Yeah.
I want a cape. Now, speaking of capes, New York Comic Con.
Yes, I was. Yes, I
was.
That's a good segue.
What was that like for you?
Comic Con. I mean, I've been going to New York Comic Con since I've been in high school, which I'm obviously dating myself. But I've been going to Comic Con. Yes, 40 years. And so I've been going since then, and then since they – I mean, I was going to it when they used to have it in Penn Plaza before they moved it to the Javits Center. And then and then when they moved to the Javits Center, they didn't even use the entire thing. Now the last couple of years, they're using the entire building. It was great. I mean, you know, it was – once again, it was packed for the second year in a row. But it's again, it's Comic-Con. It's, you know, the fanboy geek nerd thing is in right now. It's a good time to be a geek. It's a good time to be a nerd and everything like that. I mean, honestly, like I'd say about 75 to 85, maybe even 95% of pro wrestlers, that's what we grew up as. I mean, you know, we're not that far stretched from comic book characters if you think about it. What I mean, we're obviously all inspired from something and somewhere. So, you know, we can't be superheroes or supervillains, so hey, there's a nice little happy middle that we can migrate to. But, I mean, Comic-Con was awesome. I mean, I met a lot of celebs without even getting in line. I just got lucky this year. I mean, I met Adrian Curry, and I met Jordan from Toy Hunters and so many different people. It was awesome. It was an absolute awesome blast.
Now, this is a question. This is going to float over from Nerd Herders. I forgot to ask you on Friday. Did they have the new Ghostbuster stuff on display, i.e. the Ecto goggles?
I did not see those because, like, there was so much stuff around Hasbro and Mattel because with the 20th anniversary of Power Rangers, that whole booth was so mobbed because with the anniversary of Power Rangers, they've got, like, a big thing coming up where it's pretty much going to be, like, all the Rangers either on a special episode or a special movie or something like that. I mean, it's going to be huge and epic, so that was obviously all part of that booth. The only thing I got to really make my way over there to get was my Mass Effect premium figure, and then I was kind of like, okay, I'm getting out of here.
So, Damien, would you be offended if I told you I'm going to show you my PKE meter?
Not at all.
All right, sweet.
Not at all. I would honestly see. The thing is, I would honestly you probably use it in a match in some way. I would find a way.
You know what? I'm bringing it Saturday. I'm bringing it, and we're gonna throw it to you. We got it.
Awesome. Well, you know me. Regardless of what I do, I'm always gonna do something goofy. You actually, you know, you guys see the way Matt and I kind of bicker back and forth, regardless of whatever has been going on. I actually found a new way to communicate with Matt this past Saturday, which you weren't there to be privy to see. Instead of bowing to him or whatever, I found the perfect way to talk to Matt, and that was in the form of dance, aka Gangnam Style. Yes, I danced Gangnam Style in front of Matt.
That's wrong.
So,
no, he likes it.
Yeah.
McCorkle.
So you seem to be. Yeah. You seem to be living like the geek's dream. I mean, you seem to run the gamut of all the things that like I like, certainly with the pro wrestling and comic books and fantasy and all that stuff. You kind of feel like you're living the dream here by doing something like pro wrestling, which I wish that I had a modicum of athletic talent to be able to do. Do you kind of feel like you've kind of won the lottery here?
Oh, I mean, I've been enjoying it. I mean, I've been doing this a long time with the wrestling. The wrestling come this December will make 17 years.
Oh.
And you know what? I still love it. I get behind the curtain. I still get the jitters as if it was the first time all over again, you know, every time.
Like a day over 12.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm also probably not taller than most 12 years old either, but, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
That's true, but I'm not going to tell you that.
All right. It looks like I have a caller. They're indicating they want to talk, so I'm going to put them on.
Okay.
Caller, just state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Hardy Hess. I'm calling from the wonderful state of New Jersey.
All right.
Yes.
Do you have a question for Damien?
I do, and I'm going to be serious for a minute. Damien, last ECWA event in Seoul, I was wondering, you say you and Matt always fight like brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever think that there was a point where you crossed the line? When you lost the match, when he got pinned, you walked up to him, he was down recouping, and what it looked like, I wasn't close enough, but it seemed like you just spit on him. Now,
I didn't spit on him. I just spat at the floor. Come on now. We're just grasping
at straws. He just happened to be there.
Hey, like I said, guys, we get frustrated. You know, Matt's a hothead. I'm a hothead. And when you got two freaking guys butting heads left and right like we do all the time, when it comes down to a heated situation, you know, things get said, things get done that go a little too far. I'll admit I probably went a little too far.
And one more thing. Do you think in ECWA, okay, when you win the titles at the next ECWA event, do you think all this bickering and I guess we could call it miscommunication will be resolved and kind of in a weird way paid off?
Well, the bickering will never end. This is Matt and I. We bickered since day one. You know this, Hardy. Anybody that knows us knows the bickering is. But I definitely think that the tension will smooth over. You know, the reinterjection of the Midnight Sensations obviously didn't help. That kind of threw me off the deep end a little bit, I will admit. You know, and I was really. That's putting it lightly, I'll admit, and, you know, and then, you know, K-Cup came around, and then, you know, everybody knows I was really focused on that, and you know, things didn't quite pan out, so it was a snowball effect, but Matt and I are definitely looking to get back on track.
Wonderful to hear. Thank you for taking my call. You two have a pleasant tonight and a wonderful tomorrow.
You as well, Hardy.
Thank you for calling, Hardy.
Bye.
All right, so that was Hardy Heft, everyone.
That was a Samoa Joe, wasn't it?
We did start a Samoa Joe chant one night.
It might be confusing same with somebody else.
It's the guy that looks like Samoa Joe. Now,
he's awesome.
Let's wrap this up in a nice pretty bow, Damien. You got New Moon coming up this weekend. You got ECWA the following weekend. You got a lot coming up. Just wrap it all up for us.
Pretty much, yeah. You can catch me this weekend at New Moon, where Matt and I look to grab another pair of belts from another promotion. After that, I'm rolling into the iPay-per-view for Garden State Wrestling. The Disturbed one is coming out of the padded room, and that's going to be lots of fun. I also have the ECWA. We're looking to re-grasp those belts for the fourth time, heading up to Virginia. So pretty much we're on the road rolling all the way till Thanksgiving. And don't forget, every Friday night is Nerd Herders Radio, Friday nights, 9 p.m. with myself and Foxy Foxy.
Hey, one second before you go. Is the offer still on the table for Virginia?
Absolutely. If you want to tag along, absolutely. We'll work something out.
Sweet. I will text you after the show, my man.
Awesome.
Sweet.
All right. Thank you for joining us, and see you Saturday.
See you Saturday, Dean. Take it easy.
All right, everyone. That was Damien Dragon.
Dragon.
So that was Damien Dragon. He has a very the next couple of weeks are going to be something else for him. But the new unified ECWA, unified tag team champions, did have something to say. And here it is.
It never ends.
It doesn't. You see, I'm so glad that I listened to you. I mean, this is why I wanted to be your partner. I mean, you said at the K-Cup, why stop? Why stop there? And you were right. You were exactly right. And this is why we're the ECWA Dream Team. This is why we're continuing the success here in this company. Now, you're a multiple-time tag team champion. This is my second title that I've ever won in this company. Let's keep going. Why not?
Ideally, why don't we be the Grand Slam Dream Team?
That would be phenomenal.
I mean,
but we have other business to tend to first, you see. Basically, now that we pinned the Midnight Sensations, it seems that since Fusion DS didn't get pinned tonight, they're probably going to want a title shot. And honestly, I think they deserve one.
Fair.
It's fair.
I mean, they fought. They fought hard.
Midnight Sensations, without a doubt, one of the best decorated tag teams in this company. But now, Fusion DS... We know how hard you hit, we know how hard you kick, we know how hard you're going to be coming at us, but we're the new wave of this company, and we're the new tag team.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
November 3rd.
Yeah.
Back in Newark?
Let's give them their chance. I say right off the bat, let's just get it out of the way. No fluke, no paper, no transition. We're the ECWA Unified Tag Team Champions.
That's true.
We are the dream team.
True.
We're out to prove to every single person out there that this isn't just some facade. It's not some ridiculous pairing. We're yin and yang, one-on-one, and we're going to run through every single tag team ECWA can put out in front of us. Midnight Sensations, awesome fight. Fusion DS, even more awesome fight. And then who knows from there?
He has spoken.
Yeah.
So that's the dream team. They are the current ECWA Unified Tag Team Champions. And of
Nothing.
Course... What?
No, go ahead. No, go.
And of course, they're going to be defending those titles against Fusion DS, Damian Dragon, Matt Saigon, and Breaker Morant and Bobby Shields. The ever-dangerous Breaker Morant and Bobby Shields, I should say.
I'm just saying, again... We've said it 100 times. Tag team wrestling, you must see these guys. A match between the Dream Team and Fusion DS, phenomenal. That you can't go wrong with a match like that. You just can't.
I certainly agree with that. Now, of course, over the weekend on Saturday, Sideshow Pro returned to action. The GM of Sideshow Pro, Jimmy Clydesdale, announced that there were 4 important matches. That was John Gacy versus Ophidian, Alex Payne versus Ty Hagen, Ryan Slater versus John Dahmer, and Niles Young versus Johnny Calzone. Now, what happened? We didn't know why they were important. We even asked Joe Gacy last week, why are these matches so darned important? Well, these were qualifying matches for the first ever Sideshow Pro Championship that will be coming up. And we spoke to a few of the winners of these matches. And the first one we're going to bring up is Ryan Slater. Here's what he had to say after his victory over John Dahmer.
Well, let me start off by saying this. John Dahmer is a dear personal friend of mine, my trainer, actually, my mentor. So what better way to do it than to beat him in the games that he showed me? What better way than to wipe the floor with him and success the mentor? I mean, it writes itself. Now, I hope he doesn't feel sore about it. I'm still his friend. He's still dearly my friend. But he taught me, when you're in that ring, business is business. And I move on in the tournament. I'm going to be your heavyweight champion when it's all said and done. And as far as the tag match versus him and Tony Graves, it looks like the Runaways are going to get a little reunion together. And I don't remember when the last time that we fought Monster Squad, but I'm pretty sure that we had tag titles, and I'm almost certain that we left with those tag titles. So I don't feel like it'll be any different. I feel like we're going to move on then, and I'm going to move on to the future. And if anybody gets in my way, I guess it's just going to be a repeat of tonight.
So speaking of tonight, you just mentioned the Sideshow Pro World Heavyweight Championship Tournament.
That's right.
Your thoughts, sir?
Well, I mean, as far as these fans go, it seemed a little bit split between you and me. But I feel as though, in my head, I'm the clear champion already. It's already mine. I just got to walk the path and claim my title.
I have to admit, I heard the same thing you did. I heard a lot of fans had jumped on the Ryan Slater bandwagon.
When you got talent, people see that. People see when something's rising above what they see every single day. They watched 7 matches tonight, but everybody's going home and they're remembering Ryan Slater. Everybody.
Sir, good luck with the future, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ryan.
Okay, that was Ryan Slater discussing his match with John Dahmer, and of course, at the end of the show, it was announced that the Runaways are back together, at least in Sideshow Pro. Joe Gacy, Ryan Slater, teaming back up to take on the Monster Squad of John Dahmer and Anthony Graves. Now, Anthony Graves, he is I think Loudy describes it best. We'll talk to Loudy, and then we're going to get to Johnny Hated after this interview with Loudy.
How dare you bring up a loss? This was not a loss. I went in there with a monster. Oh, a monster.
You see, tonight I'm going to go home
and I'm going to have nightmares all night. I'm not going to be able to sleep. You see, I came here to think I'm going to guide my guy. We're going to win. No. Sideshow Pro brings out a live monster. A man. We don't even know if he's alive. You see, all these little stories when you're a young kid about a monster and being in your closet or under your bed, they came real tonight. Live here in some gymnasium, a man, a creature, pulled me under the ring. I will have to sit with my psychiatrist on Monday, and he's going to ask me, Loudy, show me on the doll where the monster touched you. And I'm going to have to point to my brain, my money maker, where this man tried to bite me. You see, cannibals are real, apparently, in New Jersey. Well, you see, the next time we come to Sideshow Pro, we will not be alone. You see, the notorious one, Drew Blood, the other member of Highly Entertaining Wrestlers, will be with us. And guess what? Know this. Sideshow Pro, our debut wasn't fabulous, but next time it will be highly entertaining, and all the ghouls, goblins, I'm not going to say we're going to be the Ghostbusters. I don't want to go there, but I promise this, what happened tonight will never,
never,
never happen again. I'm done.
Let's get out of here. We have a private jet.
Usa.
All right. That was Loudy. And, of course, Xavier Cross. They had a debut, and it didn't go so well for them as they met Anthony
Gray. Problems.
Loudy, he's the financial miracle, and we're actually going to be speaking with Loudy on November 14th, leading up to DWF's newest event. Now, of course, Johnny Hated is one of DWF's stars. He is involved right now in a feud with Ben Rivers, but we're going to talk about all that in just a moment after we bring him on. Right, good evening, sir. You are on with Dan, Dean, and Omega. You are live with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Johnny?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Thanks for playing that song. That gets me wild up every time I hear it, man.
Okay, good.
Let me first off say thank you. Thank you for having me on, and what took you so long to give the people what they wanted?
I tell you, it has been a long time coming. We
Dean does
got
not
there.
Have his finger on the pulse, I'm just saying.
Sometimes I don't. Yeah, sometimes
no,
I don't.
But definitely let me just start off by saying thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, let me start off, conversely, by saying you train in the CZW Academy. And I always I always find that people that train there always have some type of story to tell about it. Just very briefly, explain the CZW Academy. The listeners that have no idea what goes into training, first of all.
Oh, I mean, I don't hold any punches, so please don't be offended by anything I say. CZW is one of the hardest, most difficult effing places to ever train. I'm telling you, they really care about the business of wrestling. And if you really want to step into the ring at the CZW Academy, please be ready to puke, to be aching, to possibly bleed, even in training. It is not an easy place to train, I'll tell you that.
Now, when you were there, who was the head trainer? Was it DJ at the time, or was it John Dahmer?
No, DJ was there. Zandig still owned the company. You had a number of guys that helped out, Dahmer, You had Black G's, Sabian at that time. Now he's just Black G's. Drew Gulak. You know, you had a lot of guys that that were there to help you and to guide you to the, do the right things. And later on, before I even left there, you had Sami Callihan, you know, as well. So I had a chance to really meet and learn from a lot of the great guys in this business.
Now, just explain what it's like there. Like a typical day of training. You were telling me one time it was 250 Hindu squats. It was very intense.
Oh, I mean, before you did, and before you even took a bump in that ring, your legs fell up. You wanted to call it quits after 10 minutes, you know? Between the warm-ups, you know, what can I say? You got Hindus, you got rolls, you know, get the blood flowing, get your body awake. But like I said, after the first 10, 15 minutes of just doing warm-ups, you're ready to throw in the towel. So by no means is it a walk in the park.
I even heard of one story. I don't think it was from you, but I heard, because I speak to a lot of guys that have gone through the academy, I heard one story where he has you doing Hindu squats, and DJ's, you're on the top rope, and DJ's hitting the ropes, running back and forth, trying to, I guess, see if you can keep your balance.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the first things I had troubles with when the school was still here in Jersey, before it moved to the infamous arena. I'm telling you, man, like I said, I don't want to mislead people, and that's what I'm definitely, I've always been an honest and forward guy, and I've talked to you about that before. So please know that everything that I say tonight is absolute truth. It is not a place that if you want to take the easy way in, avoid the CZW arena, I'm telling you that.
So did you have time to mentally prepare yourself? Did you know what you were getting into? And if you did, how do you mentally prepare yourself to go into a training ground like that?
Well, for me, on a personal note, I had an opportunity to go observe the first time I ever went. And, you know, so I actually got to sit back and just watch what these guys were doing. And at the end of that night, I said, you know what? I can do this. This is something that I want to do. And seeing it and doing it are two different things, completely opposite worlds of each other. And I know a lot of people out there don't appreciate and don't like DJ on a personal note, but I have mad respect for him, and I will till, you know, until he does something wrong to me. DJ is one of those guys that a lot of people don't like him because guess what? He knows this business and he's brutally honest, and people can't handle that. And that's one thing that I think made me stay there as long as I did, which was almost 2 years before I decided to go a different route because I wasn't getting opportunities there. But again, that's just DJ. He has an idea of what he wants to do, and you know, he's not going to let anybody change his mind. And I don't hate him for that. I don't. I respect him for it.
How close did you come to quitting at all while training at CZW, or being at CZW at all? How close did you come, if at all, to quitting?
Oh, I mean, I liked it there. I liked the fact that I was around some of the best talent in the business today. I was learning from some of the best in the East Coast and in the whole United States. And, I mean, yeah, there was plenty of times I wanted to throw in the towel, but that is the difference between me and some of these other guys in the indies who like taking the easy way in. I don't like to be told I can't do something. I don't like barriers put in my way because I will break through them or find another way around. But unfortunately, I mean, it's still one of my life goals to be in CZW on that roster, working every show every month. But for right now, that's not in the cards. Hopefully, you know, maybe that will happen in the future. We'll see.
One thing that you we discussed privately, and I'm going to make public now, but we discussed DJ has instilled in you not only respect for the business, but he instilled the difference between a worker and a wrestler. Just go into that for people who might be listening.
Well, let me start off. We did talk about this privately, and this is one of the questions that I was trying to figure out how I was going to answer it, just like again, just to be honestly. And you know what? 1 week from today is Halloween. If you want to be a wrestler, October 31st is the perfect time for you to dress up, dress the part, go out trick-or-treating with the rest of little teenagers and 10-year-old kids out there, because the difference between a wrestler and a worker, and the way it was instilled in me and the way I still see it, is a worker, first of all, works his ass off in the ring to train, to know what to do, what not to do, how to protect yourself at all times. And then on top of that, you have to learn how to call things on the fly. You know, if you talk about your whole match in the back, you know, a lot of guys get flustered to go out there, they miss something, and all of a sudden, you know, they don't know where they are, and the match ends up looking decent at the beginning and goes to the crapper afterwards. And I think that's the main difference between a worker and a wrestler is if you want to look the part, then you call yourself a wrestler. If you want to actually be a worker, then you need to go out there and do the hard work and do what you have to do to become a worker.
And I think that's a very important thing. I believe Ron Starr this week also had a speech similar to that at the DWF school, if I'm not mistaken, either. Were you there for that?
No, last week, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. I'm going to be there this Friday, though, and mostly I am there every Friday. Just had some personal stuff going on. But Ron Starr is another one. You know, DWF, I heard last week's show, and I heard Drew Blood, who's another guy who I did have a chance to be in the ring with and learn from. He's a great guy. But you know what? DWF has, in the past, has the, I guess, people look at it as one of those schools was one of those schools that was the easy way to get into the business. Now, when they were here in Pensauken, now that they have moved from Pensauken to Feasterville and the mentality has really become, they have done a 180 from where they were, I think Ron Starr is definitely one of those guys that is trying to make that school, that academy, an elite in the business to be par with CCW and Chikara and the rest of the schools out there that are the elite ones.
Now, moving into DWF, how did you get involved with DWF initially?
Well, after I left CCW, I was working for, thanks to some connections, got started getting bookings at ACPW, which used to run out of Northeast Philadelphia. I actually met Ron there. Along with some other guys that are also DWF now, Mark Angel, off the top of my Tyrena and Blackie, we go back a long time. And when ACPW kind of fell apart, I heard about DWF. It was right here, close to home. And I just went one night. I met with Doc. I met with the guys who were training there at that time and the trainers who were there at that time. And I explained to them my situation. I said where I was coming from and what I wanted to do. And since I wasn't getting opportunities anywhere else, I wanted to see what they had to offer. And I've been there not without any interruptions for the last 2 years. But I had originally been there since 2009. Then okay. I had to take a little bit of a personal hiatus.
Now, DWF, how you started out with Ben Rivers. You were in a tag team at
Hold on. Let me cut you off real quick. Did not start with Ben Rivers. Ben Rivers is where he's at thanks to me. He started because of me. I did not start with Ben Rivers.
Well, you started there. You guys had some feuds together. You were a tag team.
Well, originally when I brought in Ben Rivers, Mr. Rivers, as I like to call him because he doesn't really deserve a name, when I brought him in, he was my manager. And then through an opportunity that came about, I got him on shows. And from there on, we started a tag team, and we started trying to climb up the ladder, trying to get our shot in DWF. But it just never seemed right. There always seemed like there was a weakest link in our tag team. And, I mean, come on, you've already seen what I do, so I think it's pretty obvious who the weakest link was.
Well, you certainly felt it was the panic-causing Hispanic, Ben Rivers. You thought it was him, and you viciously attacked him with a kendo stick.
Explain your thoughts going into that, because, I mean, that was a little out of line. I was there personally. I actually called it when it happened. Now, why did you do that?
Well, I'm glad that you had a front row seat, because you got to see the end result. You haven't seen what happened beforehand. I mean, 2 years of carrying somebody on your back while you do all the hard work and they reap the benefits starts to crack down a man, even a big, strong man like myself. And we worked our butts off trying to get our title shot, and we finally did. And thanks to Mr. Rivers, that one shot that I worked so hard to get it, we lost. And now Rockin' Rebel and Frankie Stars are the tag team champions at DWF, and we're back at the bottom of the totem pole. So I said, you know what? I saw the opportunity. I saw the Kendo Stick sitting there, and I made sure that I was sending a message not only to Mr. Rivers, but the rest of the DWF locker room and those fans that were there.
Now, it didn't just end there, because Salamander Jones was interviewing Ben Rivers for a taping of the Outlaws Den, and you came and just nailed him, knocked him out.
Well, first off, I did make sure that he knew I was there, because I interrupted, I said my piece, and I walked off. But I don't know, something just didn't feel like that was enough, so I had to take it one step further. See, my thing, Double D, is I'm a big man. It's not hard to miss me. I want to make sure that I make an impact in everything I do. I can go out there and I can say 1,000 words, but what's the point of it if I don't make my actions speak louder than those words?
Very good point. I'm starting to come around to your way of thinking on this. At the last show for DWF, you actually got a pinfall victory over Ben Rivers.
Yes. And now, I hope for the people that are listening right now, I hope that that's the last that I have to see Mr. Rivers, because I already pinned him. I already won my match against him. Now I want to keep pursuing going, climbing up that ladder, like I said, and hopefully get my shot at the DWF World Heavyweight Championship.
So that's the goal at this point. You want to stay singles. You don't want anybody else holding you down. You want to go after Ty Reno and that world title.
Well, I mean, let me put it to you as simple as I can, WD. What is the purpose of being in any business? A professional baseball player wants to win the World Series. A professional football player wants to win the Super Bowl. Why am I in this business if I don't want to get to the top of the mountain?
That's a fair point. I always ask that question, and everybody always tells me that. So I think I'm going to stop asking that question from now on. But,
well, look, I mean, I'm not trying to come off cocky, but I think I have a little bit of means to, because of what I have done, what I have accomplished. And again, I say this to make it perfectly clear that everything that I have accomplished has been thanks to only one person, and that is myself. I have not had help from anyone except for myself.
So at this point, do you think you have enough of what it takes to wrestle that away from Ty Reno, the title, if you have that opportunity?
Well, if I had a chance on November 24th to be in the ring with Ty Reno, I'm not going to bet against myself, of course. I'm going to say I have what it takes to go in there and beat the champion. But I also know how the business works, and I know that there's guys in front of me who are entitled to their shot, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I respect that. You had Jake Bishop, come in last show, New Moon Rising, star, and he went out there and gave Ty Reno one of the greatest matches I've seen in a long time in the Indies, and I don't have anything against that. But what I want to make sure people understand is I'm going to get my title shot one of these days, but I'm going to do it the hard way, and I'm going to earn it, because I don't like taking easy roads.
Well, what if Ben Rivers comes back and he says, hey, I want another shot. I think I deserve another chance. Are you going to give it to him?
Well, you know what? It all really depends on the people who call the shots. I don't have a problem wrestling or seeing anybody in that ring. I'm not going to back down from anyone. I haven't ever. and I'm not going to. If I get my butt kicked, then I get my butt kicked, and I learn from my mistakes, and I learn how to not do that again. But Ben Rivers, I've already proven my point. So if he wants to come back at me, the only thing I got to say is, why? What else do I have to gain from beating you again? So that really all comes down to the guys calling the shots. You got Nick Suave. You got, you know, other guys out there that make the matches. And if they say you're getting Ben Rivers again, then I'll just go out there and beat him again. I'll just do what I have to do to make sure that people understand where I'm coming from.
Good enough. Good enough. That answers my question. Now, another question I have. Doc Diamond. Now, how is it working with Doc Diamond? Just your overall impression of Doc Diamond.
Oh, he's a guy who really cares about the guys in the locker room. Since I've been there for a little while, he was absent, you know, dealing with some health problems. But now that he's back and he's constantly there almost every Friday, he's constantly talking to the guys about what he wants to see or what he, you know, wants them to do for him, you know, do for the company, do for themselves. And, I mean, what can I say? I mean, just a legend. He's written his own, you know, legacy. And like I said, never has had anything bad to say. So I have a lot of respect for Doc.
All right. So coming up November 24th, you don't have a match quite yet. I think they're working on it, though. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't heard anything, but it really doesn't matter to me. I already know I'm going in there November 24th, and I'm just going to pull out a win.
All right, and one last question. When you look at that locker room in DWF, do you see anybody that you think might have a chance to move on to the next level of the indies, whether that's CZW or whether that's ECWA, whatever? Do you see anybody back there that has that it factor? Besides yourself, of course.
I think that was plain simple. I didn't think I had to include that, but thank you for doing that. I mean, there's a lot of guys back there that are, what I said, hardworking, dedicated. Go in there and leave everything in the ring. I mean, I'll give him a shout out just because he asked me to. Major James McClendon. He's one of those guys that since he stepped into the ring for the very first time to train, has not stopped, has busted his butt. You got, I heard Drew Blood talk about Xavier Cross. He's another one. I mean, there's a lot of talent in that locker room, don't get me wrong. I think that's another reason why it's taken me so long to get my title shot. But, I mean, this is a great bunch of guys. And, you know, on a business level, I would like to be in the ring with all of them and beat them to prove myself. But on a personal level, I don't have anything bad to say about anybody back there except for Ben Rivers.
Good enough. Now, DWF, of course, the next show is November 24th. That's in Feasterville at the Sportsplex. Yes. And I believe it's a 7:30 bell time. Tickets are $15.
Yeah.
So get out there, support DWF. It's a really good promotion to get behind.
Yeah, $15 at the door, $10 if you get them in advance from someone. And, I mean, you know, last crowd was a sell-off crowd, you know, for the very first show that we had at the new location. So, I mean, as a worker in the locker room, you can't ask for anything else than people just to come out and support the indies. No matter whether you hate me, love me, you want to throw something at me, just come out and support wrestling, real wrestling.
All right. Now, where can the people follow you, find you, if they want to interact with you?
100% of everything I do is on Facebook, so you can do facebook.com/jhated. I used to have a Twitter account, but I got hacked, so I deleted that. But, yeah, so I just do everything I have to do from Facebook, Johnny Hated. You know, just hit me up. I accept everyone. Like I said, don't hesitate if you just want to say what's up.
All right, Johnny, it was an honor and a pleasure to have you on tonight. Best of luck.
Thank you very much, Dean. I know we talked real quick. Well, I know you're trying to get me off real quick. We talked about this before. The one main thing I wanted to say before I go is, you know, the elections are coming up in a matter of a few weeks, and I want the people out there
they don't have to really worry about who they're going to vote for as far as Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. This is campaign Johnny Hayden right now. I'm announcing it. It started this year, 2012, till the future. Bookers, promoters, everybody, fans, hit me up. I'm ready to work. And thanks for having me on.
All right. So that's campaign Johnny Hayden, 2012.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love it. Johnny, you have a great night, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope to hear from you guys again.
Oh, you certainly will.
All right. Have a great night.
You too now. All right. So that was Johnny Hayden.
Great interview, man.
Well, thank you.
He has a, not you, him.
Oh. I thought you were talking about me.
You're fine. You're fine.
Well, we'll be right back after this. Right, so that was Johnny Hayden campaign, Johnny Hayden 2012. I love it. He's ready to work, people. Now,
I don't know, I think he's trying to duck Mr. River there.
It didn't sound like it to me, Dan. Like, I'm ready. He knocked him out.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But why doesn't he want to find him again?
Because he proved his point.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, another interview we got from Sideshow Pro was one with Nick Arcade. Now, Nick Arcade has an interesting style, combined some video game maneuvers into his repertoire. But he was out for a little while, and Ryan got to the bottom of what was going on.
I'm here with Nick Arcade. Nick, on behalf of myself and all the other Sideshow Pro fans and all the other fans around the wrestling world, we are so happy to have you back. Your thoughts, sir?
Oh, it's great to be back. Definitely a long time coming. My last appearance at Sideshow was during a dark time, but I'm back and here to stay this time.
Would you like to elaborate on what this has been like, going through the injuries and the issues?
Yeah, I went through a time where it's no secret now. I had a bout with testicular cancer, which I successfully survived that. So it's been a lot of heartache, and it's been a really scary year, but happiest moment was being able to get back in that ring again in front of everybody and doing what I do to love best, you know?
Well, I just want to say, as I've had family members that have lost their lives to cancer, that I'm extremely happy to have you back, that you're okay, and that you did survive this, and I know everyone else is as well.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. It's good to hear. The feedback was pretty positive tonight, and it's great, being in front of everybody. It's a high for me,
I do have to ask you, though. You're back in competition now, so what are the next thoughts? What's the next step, I guess, would be the way to put it?
Next step is keep pushing on, pretty much. Tonight was my first official loss, so it was a little damaging, but it was against a good tag team. So tonight, I take it in stride, but next time, I need to strive and head for the top. So maybe some point, even though I'm not qualifying or I was ever in the tournament, but hey, maybe I can go for that world championship, get the side trip for a title around my waist and, be taken serious. So.
Absolutely. One last question, if you don't mind, sir. You teamed with Xerox. Could this be potentially maybe... I'm sure it's coming down the line, a Sideshow Pro tag team title run. Yeah. They can bring in the titles and offer you got the world title coming. I'm sure the SAG titles are coming.
I'm sure they will be. As many people say in the business, never say never. Tonight we're unsuccessful, but, we went out there and we gave it our best. And the fans loved it. You never know. I mean, we can see a tag team in the future. Xerox and Nick Arcade. I mean, you can go anywhere from here. So I'm looking forward to that. And see what happens next.
Thank you so much, Nick. And like I said, on behalf of Hell in a Cell and Block Talk Radio, we are so happy that you're still around to enjoy this time, able to get back in the ring. And it means a lot to us to have the chance to talk to you right now.
Thank you very much. The honor is mine.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You too.
So that was Nick Arcade, a triumphant return.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he came out at the last show in June.
and nobody was really talking about it. We found out about what was going on at a CZW show. I think it was Tangled Web. Nick was there, and we had the chance to talk with him, and it's really great to see him back.
Yes, it is. I didn't know. I didn't know I was supposed to comment more. No, it's just when you defeat something that that crippling physically to your body, and you can come back and do something as physically demanding as wrestling. I don't care what anybody says out there. Wrestling fake, blah, 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 blah. You do what they're doing.
Exactly.
Okay. Until then, it shits your face.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point, because a lot of people say, "Oh, it's so easy to get there." And no, it's not.
Yeah, go ahead, do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, get in the ring.
I don't want to do it. Well, then shut your face.
Now, there was also a four-way funhouse match that,
woo-hoo,
my goodness, it included Cluck Norris, the winner of the previous four-way, Kimberly, Alex Colon from CZW, and probably the biggest surprise of the night was Matt Tremont. Coming to Sideshow Pro, of course, we interviewed him in the beginning of September. Hope to get him back pretty soon, too, as we move closer to Cage of Death for CZW. But here's what he had to say about the four-way.
Bulldozer Matt Tremont here. Hell in a Cell Radio. Sideshow Pro's in the books. Bulldozer Matt Tremont made his debut tonight against Cluck Norris, the Princess Kimberly, and Alex Colon, Four Loko. Let's say Bridgeton's not very far from Atlantic City, and I took the opportunity to make my way down to Bridgeton tonight and make my debut for Sideshow Pro. Good crowd, good locker room, really enjoyed the environment. A lot of fun tonight. Sideshow Pro was fun, meant to be fun. It's the circus act, it's a sideshow. A lot of fun, hope I can come back. If not, please follow Sideshow Pro, sideshowpro.com. Up and coming promotion, they're on the horizon, 2013. Look on out for Sideshow Pro. Bulldozer Matt Tremont, signing off from Hell in a Cell Radio. DJ, you're dead.
Well, comments there to DJ at the end. DJ is, of course, DJ Hyde.
Jesus. it's great to be here, but and you're dead.
He can turn it on a dime. Let me tell you, the man can turn it on a dime. Now, getting back to those four important matches, we already heard from Ryan Slater as he defeated John Dimer to move on in this prestigious tournament. Now, another person was Niles Young. Here's what he had to say.
You're looking at and speaking to the first Sideshow Pro World Heavyweight Champion as soon as I get that opportunity.
You have two more matches to go through. Your thoughts going forward?
Well, I mean, considering I don't exactly know who those matches will be against just yet, I'm still not that nervous. You see, when you're the baddest and best Italian in the business, there's not really too many people that can really give you a run for your money or give you a challenge, so I'm not really sweating it.
And one last question, sir. I heard some moronic fans out there chanting something about, I don't know, I guess they think Italian people are greasy or something. Your thoughts to those idiots?
Well, you know, those people are just bigots. They're just racist. They're just ignorant, like a bunch of other Americans who want to say whatever they want because they paid it. They paid money for a ticket, and they think they have the right. Well, they don't have the right, and they're greasy, and they're just average. So they can, I'm done with them.
That was Niles Young. Thank you, sir, for your time.
Anytime.
Certainly helped the stereotype.
I'm done with him.
By far.
Such a nice guy, though. he defeated Johnny Calzone in a match that featured more chops than I thought was. I didn't think it was possible.
to Calzone. Well, what are they trying to say, man?
Probably the best match of the night was Alex Payne, who for some reason is called Sugarfoot. He took on the debut of Ty Hagen. He of course, was in CZW with Alex Cole when Alex Cole first broke in. So here was what Alex Payne had to say.
My thoughts are simple. I went into tonight. I beat Ty Hagen in his debut. He thought he could upset me. I've had one loss in Sideshow Pro. One loss that's a big mar on my record, and that was against Johnny Calzone for the Forceful Heavyweight title.
And since then, I've been on a mission. I've been determined to be each and every individual that's been in my face since that time. Now, we have the Sideshow Pro Title Tournament up and coming. And I plan on, and I will, and I damn guarantee that I plan to win the Sideshow Pro Championship. Do you have any questions about that?
I do, actually. I was going to ask you, you know, do you have any idea who your next opponent's going to be? Any thoughts on that?
I don't care who my next opponent is going to be. That's the main thing about it. They could put Ophidian in there, which he lost against Joe Gacy. That's too bad for him. They could put John Dahmer. I don't care. They could put Ryan Slater. I don't care. I don't care if they have Niles Young, Johnny Calzone. I don't care if people get second chances or not. Fact of the matter is this. Whoever it is against me, I'm going to rip their face off, and I'm going to stomp it into the ground.
Bah!
Bah!
Hey! Is he the warrior? Did he channel the warrior there?
He did at the end, didn't he? He did. I like Alex. Alex is a really good wrestler, and I think he...
Does he run out to the ring?
No, he is really underrated, quite frankly. Has just everything about him. He's really the total package.
Someone waka to look waka
at. Yeah, but no, somebody to look at. That wasn't a waka waka, by the way. Now, Joe Gacy, in the main event, took on Ophidian and defeated Ophidian to move on in this tournament. And here were his thoughts.
Well, you know, me and Ophidian went in there. No strangers to each other. And that's fine. I did what I meant to do. I went out there. I took him down. Yeah, he maybe brought me a fight. But with Chainsaw, any fight's easily mowed down. And I beat him. Now I'm on my way to the heavyweight title tournament.
Speaking of the heavyweight title tournament, you're fighting for the Sideshow Pro Heavyweight Championship of the world. Your thoughts on going forward on that tournament?
Well, I'm not sure when this tournament's going down, but all I know is next time Sideshow comes around, me and Ryan Slater team up again to take on the Monster Squad. Tony Graves thinks he's going to eat my brains. That ain't going to happen. But after that, I'm going to go to the tournament, win the title, and once I win that title, that's going to prove that I am better than everybody here, including John Dahmer.
Is he even still left in the tournament? I mean, didn't he get beat? I don't even know.
He did, and you know what that means? When I win, I'm on top of the mountain.
It's true. It's very true. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Gacy.
Tony Graves thinks he's going to eat my brains.
Bah!
Bah!
Tony thinks he's going to eat my brains.
So that was...
I am from Brussels.
And thanks to the guys for sticking around. You know, when we got those interviews and we got new bumpers and everything, it's a wonderful day. Had so much fun. The best thing about Sideshow Pro is how much fun you have. Where else can you chant, "We don't give a cluck"?
Well, you mean the people actually chanted with you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, that doesn't happen other places.
No. Like I was hoping they were going to put that in the highlight video they put out. Because Cluck Norris won the four-way funhouse. And we really don't like Cluck Norris all that much. And we don't give a cluck about it. And everybody else got behind it. It was a wonderful moment for all.
Bah.
Bah. Yeah, he really helped destigmatize that stigma. Or whatever. I don't know. What
that's
stereotype.
Oh, am I good? Be quiet. Now I won't say a word. Let's see Dean get out of this one. Stigmatized thing, and what he did was he reversed it.
Oh, it wasn't
that.
You. Hey, there's a pay per view this weekend. Does anybody care?
No. No.
Hey, let's be like...
My only problem is who the hell does Vince McMahon think he is in stealing the name of this show to make money?
Exactly.
That son of a biscuit maker.
It's infringement.
It is.
It's infringement, I'm going to sue.
I'm going to send a cease and desist.
I'm going to sue him. Because I thought we were putting on a show Sunday. And I'm like, what's... Wow, we're an arena? Dean never told me. And it's a friggin' WWF. I mean, WWE. What's the WWF? I don't know.
the World Wildlife Fund.
Oh. I didn't even know they still existed.
They do, so...
I knew they existed when the WWF was called WWF.
So, I don't even know what's going on. I think Miz is taking on Kofi.
And there's going to be a match in the cell, blah, 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 blah.
Right back. Do you think they're going to pull the trigger?
And they're going to push him? Yeah, I actually think they do, because they have nothing else.
So you think...
Why is Ziggler not getting pushed, and he is?
Very good question.
That's an excellent question.
I have no idea. It's the only thing I've seen that's dumber in wrestling is the finger poke of doom.
Anyway, moving it back, let's bring it back in.
What?
Do you think Ryback is going to win the title on
Sunday? I just said yes!
How about you, Omega? I didn't hear Omega's thoughts on the
yes.
subject.
Yeah, no, actually, I think you kind of have to. I think they need to. I think they backed themselves into a corner because I don't think you wanted to. I think you want to keep Ryback strong. If you're betting on this guy being this monster, and you want him to come out strong, I think just because Cena's injury backed him into this corner, they went down the path. I think they got to pull the trigger.
Really?
I don't like it. But
I don't like it either. Yeah.
I'm going for Punk.
I could. If it wasn't Hell in a Cell, I would say, yeah, just let it be a screw job finish and be over with. But I hesitate to say there's going to be a screw job finish in a cell match.
It can happen.
It can happen, but I just it's
Brock Lesnar.
Believable.
Brock Lesnar is going to come back at Survivor Series, I would imagine. Pop the buy rates. You have Brock against Brodus.
What do you do now, though? Do you try to pump the buy rates? Or
Brodus? Where the hell was my mind? The Ryback.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Brodus.
Fiesta, fiesta, whatever.
God damn. I have nothing on that. Bah! Forget it.
So,
I thought it didn't matter. Bah!
So you want to waste, like 25 more minutes like Brady would do? Going over predictions that no one cares about?
No, I don't know because nobody cares. Because nobody cares. Hey, dude, what do you think about this match between Brodus and Bret Hart? Who do you think's going to win?
John from Long Island. Anyway.
I think Bret Hart's the thing because he wears pink.
What do you think it was Bret Hart's favorite match from Survivor Series to...
2005.
What do you think it was?
Yeah, first time, long time. I think it was Mr. Perfect versus the heroin needle.
Come on.
What's wrong with you? That's almost as bad as the Kamala joke.
What was the Kamala joke?
Oh, never mind.
Did I tell you Kamala joke? Only thing I remember is Puerto Rican locker rooms.
No, the Kamala. I'm not going into it, but I'll tell you all.
Steps up.
I'll tell you all fair. So, does anybody have a fatty food of the week?
Hey, let's tell a bad joke.
Fatty food of the week. Anyone?
Food of the week. Jerry's pizza. And well, no, you know what? They're not paying me. Screw them.
Oh, I nearly forgot.
Yeah.
New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Oh, I was going to say, you're not rapping up because we have to talk about this, you know.
We've
been pushing this for months. Oh, I got this, Dean. Sit back. We've been pushing this for months. We've been talking about it for months. We were in the center of controversy, which we're not going to mention. New Moon Rising Wrestling is coming back. Saturday. Tickets are $10. You're not getting ripped off at this show. $10. $10. I don't remember the address, so Dean's going to have to step in eventually.
1030 Delcy Drive.
Thanks.
Building 4W.
But it's just been a long time coming. These guys have been working very hard to make a small venue that works. It's being built up. It's going to be basically Grand Central for this company. And I think it's a very good idea. The approach is different. They're not renting a building. They're not moving the venue. It's really in the center of a lot of places, so you can get to it easily.
Even a bus route goes by.
Right. I mean, it's right off a major artery in New Jersey. Right off a major artery in New Jersey. Right off 295. Go to 295, Delsey Drive, get off the exit, and sneeze. You're there. But these guys have been working really, really hard. They're going to build up to something special. We're doing a live pre-show Saturday. Where am I from, New York? Holy crap, Saturday. And what's that, 4:30 to 5:30?
Yeah, we're doing a live show, 4:30 to 5:30.
I'm telling you guys, people who are listening, go to this show. It's $10.
What do you got to lose?
What do you got to lose? I mean, you could even, you know, there's a Wawa down the street where this one guy works.
Joe Hale, jumping Joe effing Hale.
Joe effing what the hell Hale?
We don't have to go inside to find the biggest dummy.
No. We just look outside at somebody going, hey, I'm here working and...
I don't get it. Why was Roughneck... he's in the parking lot of the Wawa. I'm just trying to get a smoothie, Dan. I'll be honest. I'm going in to get a strawberry banana smoothie.
Well, you shouldn't answer. You don't have to, you know.
So I'm going in to get a smoothie, and here's Roughneck standing in the parking lot cutting a promo.
Car.
It's so bizarre, this guy.
Was anybody there?
What?
Was there anybody there listening to him other than you?
There were a few bystanders that had no idea what he was talking about. Because he talks very loud.
No, it's like, I tell you.
That is his laugh, too. But... So, hey, you'll get to see the weird, but you'll get to see the weird guy that cuts promos in a parking lot.
And you'll get to see the greatest wrestling cameraman in his.
In his. So, you went dead there for a second.
Oh, so, me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Brady and I will be calling the action, but besides all that behind the scenes, Cliff Light is going to be the ring announcer. Besides all that, there's going to be something special going on. World heavyweight title will be decided. No disqualification. It's going to be the challenger, Jake Bishop of the Meat Society, taking on Luis the Punisher Martinez. I don't know. I got to go. With those rules, I'm going with Jake. How about you, Dan?
I'm going with Jake just because I'm going with Jake.
Well, you got to.
I put my money on Jake because he's the boss.
Well, besides that, I think he just has it with the Meat Society backing him up.
My point was wasn't going to, you know, go against that.
Anyway, moving on.
I don't know what the hell a promo was.
World Tag Team Title Match. You're going to have the Untouchables, the reigning champions, taking on Fusion DS. Where do you see that one, Dan?
I'm taking Fusion DS. I think they're going to dominate another company in Jersey. That's it. End of story. Fusion DS.
I'm undecided at this point.
Oh, no.
Undecided.
No.
Moving on, we got Keikoa the Flying Hawaiian making his debut in New Moon Rising Wrestling, taking on Crazy Ivan. He's crazy, Dan.
He's crazy.
He's unorthodox.
Who was shooting that promo? Who went to the mental hospital to shoot that one?
I don't know, but there's a one-day pass, Dan, that he was given. He's out of the asylum. He's going to come down.
I'm fairly concerned about this.
I am too. Keiko had better fly his butt out of there once Crazy Ivan hits the ring.
No, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about me.
Well, true. You gotta be pretty close to the action there. So
I'm pregnant and everything.
I don't know what that means, but
I'm a fat idiot.
I am calling for Crazy Ivan to get the victory in this one.
I'm calling Keikoa.
So we're split right down the middle.
Yeah, what you said.
Split. He's a little charged up. I think he had a Monster
split.
Energy drink.
We're split.
Anyway. Because Dan is, of course, perfect and never makes any mistakes.
No, I'm clearly not, but that just tickled my funny bone. Back off, man.
You back off. I'm talking about PG-13. You got to point out every time I stutter.
No, not at all. Just the one time. What's the next match on the agenda?
It's going to be a women's match. I believe Sienna Deval of Empire will be there.
Oh, I'm in love.
And she'll be taking on To Be Decided. I don't know much about To Be Decided.
I was going to say, who is this person? Is it a woman?
Parts unknown. To Be Decided.
Her wrestling, the finishing move is called Not Quite Sure. NQS. And she comes out to the theme song I Don't Remember from Peter Gable.
Now, after we get past that action, Dan, PG-13, the innovative match, starts out like a Royal Rumble. No eliminations can take place until all 13 competitors are inside the ring. Once all 13 are in, over-the-top rope eliminations begin. Once you're eliminated, you become a lumberjack. Final two, lumberjack match rules.
I am really, really looking forward to this match. There is not a match like this that exists, period. End of story.
That's very true.
So my research says. And you can make fun of the way I just pronounce research. Now, what's the expanded part for those who don't know?
I think we'll find out that day, Dan.
It's a secret. Sir, you guys should show up. It's only $10, you cheap bastards.
Well, who's your pick? Brady has picked Tank Tolan. I think he's in love with the guy's oiled-up muscles.
I tell you this.
Anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not going to agree with anything Brady ever says. Just based on principle and the fact that I'm smart. I'm going to go with Robert Knight.
Well, make that two for Robert Knight. My close personal friend, Robert Knight. We went out to the Collingswood Diner tonight. That's what we do.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Collingswood Diner is still standing?
Yeah, of course it is.
That's not the one burned down. The Oakland Diner burned down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Oakland Diner.
No, not the Oakland. The Newton. What the hell? Which one is it on Whitehorse?
It's burned down anyway. It's a parking lot, Dan.
I was there. My point was, it's very interesting that you guys went to dinner and didn't invite me.
Well, you got to the studio late. It was a little hard to coordinate our schedules.
That's very true. You know, Kit can keep him on schedule. I don't have a car like that.
Not many people do. And remember, the origin story of that is Kit just showed up one day in front of his house. So,
I believe it. Well, you know, Kit chose Robert.
Maybe for the best of, we'll go back to the files and find the origin story of Robert Knight.
Yeah, please do, because I don't remember what you're talking about.
He said he woke up, went downstairs, leaving for work, and Kit was just in his driveway.
Oh.
To which Go Thompson replied, "You sound like the luckiest man alive."
Who?
To which Go Thompson. To which Robert replied, "I'm just living the dream, man." So maybe we'll bring that back.
Is that the guy that always drinks on Twitter?
Yeah. He has a Pilsner.
Pilsners. Epic.
Always talking Pilsners. Now, Omega, anything going on in MMA?
Omega's here?
MMA has been pretty quiet over the last week, honestly. You know, we're 3-4 weeks out away from GSP Condit. So, got a ways to go there. I think one of the bigger stories, Anthony Pettis is out. He has been hospitalized with an infection, I believe. So he is out of his match with Donald Cerrone for the end of this year. That's kind of unfortunate because I was really looking forward to that fight. And I think the only other thing I noticed today was that Dana White has said that there will be women's fighting in the UFC.
Oh.
When, I don't know, but he has said that there will be women's MMA. Eventually,
wow.
I don't know, my friend. That doesn't bode well for the future of Strikeforce.
Wait, why?
But
dumb it down for somebody who doesn't know, honestly.
Strikeforce would be where
TNA.
Yeah, Strikeforce is where pretty much where the women's MMA is for the Zuffa organization. So that's where Ronda Rousey fights. That's where Cyborg would be. Miesha Tate, all the big names would be. If you know, if Zuffa's going to bring all those fighters over into if Dana White's talking like they're going to bring those fighters over to UFC, then that kind of would indicate that Showtime's not going to pick up the deal for Strikeforce in 2013, and then Strikeforce would be folded because they wouldn't have a TV outlet, which makes sense. But I just want to see women's fighting in UFC. Honestly, I think they could use the extra talent.
So it doesn't matter if it's Strikeforce or not, you just want to see it.
Well, as long as I get to see women's MMA, I'm fine. I think Strikeforce is on its last legs anyway at this point. I'd rather see the best fighters fight the best fighters, and those people should be in the UFC, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
You know, I'd rather see, you know, it's like football. I'm going to watch the NFL, not arena football.
Yeah.
That may be a poor analogy, but...
No, I agree.
That makes sense. Like, so not much going on.
No, not really. Not for 2-3 weeks here. Next fight is on Fuel TV. It's the Rich Franklin Kung Lee fight.
I want to see that, but Fuel TV not available.
Yeah,
not available.
I have it, but I pay for it. So.
Oh, you had to pay extra?
Yeah, I had to buy the whole sports tier to get Fuel TV.
Is that $8.95 a month?
That's only six, but
wow,
that's not too bad.
It's $6 a month extra.
Promotional price.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
Yeah, but I'm paying $6 for, you know, Big Ten, the Big Ten Network, which I don't give a dang about.
NHL Network?
No, that's separate entirely, so.
Oh, my God.
Well, make sure you follow...
Not that company that rhymes with Horizon, is it?
Horizon.
No.
Make sure you check out...
Is it a company that rhymes with Blom Blast?
No, it's a company that rhymes with Mime Warmer. So,
gotcha.
So,
Shmay Shmo Shmell Shmime Warmer.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, go ahead, Dean.
Yeah.
Make sure you check out our guests, Damian Dragon at STB Damian Dragon on Twitter. Johnny Hated you can find on Facebook.com/JHated. And of course, Mishir Ulala is on Twitter at Mr. Ooh La La, and that's OOHLALA. And, of course, check out the companies that they wrestle for. It's NMRWrestling.com. Big show, Dan.
Saturday, 7 o'clock bell time.
$10.
$10.
10:30, Delcy Drive, Deptford, New Jersey, Building 4W.
Seriously, if you were ever thinking, you know, I watch wrestling on TV, but I've never been to an independent show, pick this one as the first one. Not only is it the cheapest ticket price, but you're getting a lot of bang for your buck there.
Not raising ticket prices, are they?
No, they're never raising ticket prices because I won't allow it.
Then
I'm in with the board, sir.
I know you're not. Then we have ECWAProWrestling.com. Of course, we have SideshowPro.com, and to check out DWF Action, including that Outlaws Den episode I was talking about with Johnny Hated and Ben Rivers. That's TVByDemand.com. Guys, it's always exciting. I think Damian, we're all best friends. We're all going to go out and have some chocolate milk.
I want some chocolate milk, and I'm going to share my PKE meter.
Omega, do you have anything else?
No, but I'm tell me how the Ecto Cooler is, because that's what I missed.
Well, why don't you listen Friday night when I make it with them live?
I may have to do that.
Make it with them live.
You know, and the last thing I'll say about the Nerd Herders, of course, check that out as well. You can find it at blogtalkradio.com/DreamElite. On Friday nights at 9 p.m., it becomes the Nerd Herders, and that's Damian and his lovely wife, who will be a future guest. I believe it's the 14th of November we have it.
You are correct, sir.
Just check that out, because even if you're not a fanboy, just the topic matter and just how they discuss things and the back-and-forth banner.
It's excellent show.
It really is.
It really is fun. And I've been listening for a couple of weeks, and like I said, last week called in. We just talked about the random nerd stuff, and they announced today about the Ecto Cooler, or the other day about the Ecto Cooler. I'm like, oh, I'm in. I mean, That's my favorite franchise is Ghostbusters, and I'm on board for this.
So check that out. Fridays at 9. You can also find that on thebradyhicks.com. If you just want to find it very quickly, thebradyhicks.com will get you right there as well. So if you don't want to get confused with Dream Elite, whatever. But a great show, and check them out. They're, you know, great show.
Now, give me my $20.
What?
I promoted and I want my $20.
Oh, well, maybe on Saturday.
Okay.
So I'm going to play out the Brady Hicks commercial, and then we'll...
Wonderful way to end the show. Good
choice. We'll see you Saturday.
Saturday.
What time, Dan?
5:30.
No, 4:30.
Oh, 4:30 to 5:30. I'm sorry. 4:30 to 5:30. blogtalkradio.com/hellinacell. And bell time, 7 o'clock, and stuff.
Promo fail.
The only thing I'm going to say is
can we
that
take two?
I have a big surprise for Empire. They're not getting in the building until they're thoroughly searched.
I'm telling you, I don't feel comfortable with crazy eyes. Who finds these people?
Exactly.
Seriously, our lives are in danger, and I don't want them to hurt my really frail body.
I certainly agree.
I'm scared.
So until Saturday, where we'll be live at the Proving Grounds, 10:30, Delsey Drive, Building 4W, Deptford, New Jersey.
We're professional.
We'll see you then.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXP 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Day Dating and Relationship Show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
There's a reason why they say not to do this at home.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
I'm not impressed by your performance.